Welcome to the Dayspring Audio Library, the teaching ministry of Pastor Daniel Rehoff. Thanks for joining us. We hope this message will have a powerful impact on your life. So sit back and enjoy today's time in the Word.
Romans 8, verse 28, a verse that you probably all know this. I mean, you probably quoted it when life was going hard. Someone told you this. You know, you're having a hard time, and someone quoted this verse. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for, say it out loud, church, good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So what is pessimism? Well, we've got a couple definitions here. Pessimism is an outlook or perspective, listen to me, that can be modified. It's an outlook, it's a perspective on life that can be modified. Say, no, Pastor, I'm a pessimist, it's just my personality. Well, maybe there's some things about you that you can't change, but your perspective on life, listen to me, you can change that, okay? You can't change a lot of stuff. Can't change how tall you are, how short you are, the color of your hair, if you have hair. You can't change those kind of things, but you can change your perspective, because being a pessimist or being optimistic is really just a pattern of thinking. Did you hear me on that? It's a pattern of your thinking. Take your Bible, go over to the right, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says this, I beg you, I beseech you, therefore, Christians or brethren, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Listen, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So it says you can change your mind. You can renew. You can change how you think about things. And church, listen. As Christians, we need to always constantly be renewing and changing and growing in how we think. Okay, we're never just done. We're never like, well, you know, I reached a plateau and I'm fine. You know, you got to constantly be growing. You got to constantly be changing. And I tell you what, someone who's a pessimist, a pessimistic person, that's just a tough way to live, to be a pessimist. Pessimism, in my opinion, is like a poison. It's just, you can live with it, but it's a tough way to live. Some people view life as a glass half full or a glass half empty. So just think for a moment. Think, is the glass half full or is it half empty? Now think about how you view that. If I had a glass up here and it was full of water halfway, would you say it's half full or would you say it's half empty? Now, regardless of what you say about it, either way, it's half. It's half. It is half. The glass is half. It's just half. And that's the reality. But the perspective is when you look at the glass, you either say it's half full or you're half empty. But the reality is it's half. It's just, that's the truth. It's half. You know, but your perspective is, how am I going to view it? How do I see it? And sometimes when we talk about this, people will whine because the glass is only half filled. But there's other people that will see the glass and they'll be thankful because there is half of it that is filled. Right? Same glass. It's still half. And some people will whine, well, the glass isn't all the way full. And other people are just happy. I'm happy there's something in the glass, you know. But it doesn't change. Think about it. It doesn't change how much water is in the glass. The only thing that's changed is our perspective. You have two people look at it, and one doesn't make it more water, one doesn't make it less water. It's still halfway. But your perspective on it is what you see differently. And pessimism, write this down, is the outlook that things will go awry and that the goals will not be met. Pessimism is the outlook that things will go awry and that goals will not be met. It's a negative perspective on things. You are looking for the other shoe to fall. It's the absence of hope. A pessimistic person has a chronic absence of hope. They're never thinking it's better. than they have imagined. They're always thinking it's worse. Some people say, oh, no, no, that's just my intuition. I've got intuition, and I just know. You know, listen, I get frustrated with people that say they have intuition and they just know. You have people like that at work? Well, I just know, you know. We think we can read into a situation. We think we can read between the lines. Our intuition, here's something about intuition. Our intuition is only correct enough of the time to keep us thinking that we have intuition. You know, that's all it is. It's just, it's not 100% right. It's just enough right, whatever that is for you to keep thinking that you got in. Well, I just got intuition. Really? You got intuition? Okay, you just got lucky on a couple of your guesses, you know. When something turns out worse than we imagine, then it just keeps cementing our perspective in our mind, and we keep doing it. It's like someone will say this. Someone will say, well, I just don't think this sermon's going to help me. Well, you're a pessimist, all right? I just have intuition. I just don't think it's going to help me. You're a pessimist, all right? There's plenty of stuff in God's Word to help every single person. So, Pastor, what are the symptoms? All right, here we go. Got a lot of stuff to look at tonight. Symptoms. This could have been a two-night message, but we're going to cram it into one. Here we go. Here's some symptoms. Symptoms of being a pessimist. Number one, constantly sees the dark side of everything. Constantly sees the dark side of everything. Kind of like Darth Vader, you know. There's always the dark side of everything. You don't see the silver lining, you see the clouds. How about this? Someone dreams about winning the lottery, and that person says, well, I don't want to win the lottery because I'd have to pay the taxes on it. Did you ever have someone say that? I've had people say that. Well, I don't want to win the lottery. If I win the lottery, I have to pay taxes on it. Really? Listen, I'm going to give you guys all an exemption here. I am totally against playing the lottery. I don't think it's right. I think it's anti-biblical to play a lottery. But if you do play the lottery and you do win, as long as you tie 20%, I'll absolve you from that sin. All right? It's okay with me. You get a freebie on that one. But I'm kidding. A pessimistic person focuses on the negatives of every situation. Now think about that. They focus on the negative of every situation. Let me ask you a question. But just think. The very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, the very first people that lived in the earth lived in the Garden of Eden. Since the Garden of Eden, since the fall, right? Do we live in a perfect world? Do we live in a perfect world? Think about that. Do we? We don't live in a perfect world, right? We don't live in a perfect world. Is there a dark side to everything? Yes, there is a dark side to everything. There really is. It's just there is a dark side. The world is broken. But there's still enough good that we can focus on the good. We don't have to focus on the broken. It's not all evil. There's still good things. For instance, tonight, when we started tonight, we could fixate on the temperature in this room. We could. The ladies are laughing. We could sit here and say, this room is too cold. Or you could say, I'm thankful we have an auditorium and we're not sitting in the middle of a cornfield and we're not back at the hotel at the excellent or at the Country Springs Hotel. We could fixate on that, right? We could, you know. So see, you could look at it different ways. It was, well, the auditorium's too cold, or you could just be thankful that we've got an auditorium and that we're comfortable and that we have pews and we have carpet and we have electricity and we have a sound system and we have a beautiful building and we have bathrooms and we have hot water, you know. And we could do that with people too. We could look at someone and say, well, that person's still stuck in their sin. Yeah, we could look at someone and say, that person's stuck in their sin. Or you could look at that new believer and say, I'm just so thankful that they're coming out to church. Right? I remember, I'm going to get myself in trouble. I've been getting myself in trouble a lot. I'm so sorry. Years ago, on a planet far away, no one knows this person. Don't even try to think about who this is. There was a couple in our church, that would complain to me about some RU students in our church, and that I can't believe they're still sin. I can't believe they're still living together. I can't believe, and all these things were bad about them. And I remember as clear as it was yesterday, me just saying, I'm just happy that they're coming to church because they just got saved. I'm just so tickled pink that they actually showed up on a Sunday morning. I don't care what they smell like. I don't care about the needle marks on their arm. I don't care about the tattoos. I don't care about any of that. All I care about right now is that they're at church on Sunday morning. I mean, you're right. You could do that with everybody. You know, you complain about it or you could look at the positive. So you know, some people just look at the dark side. Next one. symptom. Here's a symptom. They're critical of the good things and the good circumstances. Pessimistic people are critical of the good things and the good circumstances. They say like this, well, that's just too good to be true. Well, there must be a downside to this. Why does there always have to be a downside? You know, there's always that fear that other shoe is falling. Everything's okay now, but just wait. Their shoe's going to fall. I had someone say that when they came to our church. They came to our church and said, well, I love this church, but I'm just waiting for the other shoe to fall. What shoe? I mean, you got two shoes. What are you talking about? Well, we're waiting for it to fall. What are you talking about? I mean, what are you talking about? Tell me. I'm anxious to hear this, you know. Church, listen. There doesn't always have to be a downside to everything, okay? There doesn't. There just doesn't have to be a downside to everything. Some people are just, it doesn't matter how good the circumstances are, there is going to be a downside. Church, there doesn't have to always be a downside, okay? Don't be like that. Number three, a pessimistic person. Symptom of a pessimistic person is believing that everything is just too good to be true. They're believing that everything is just too good to be true. But there's a lot of negative in life. Yeah, but don't forget there's an awful lot of positive in life too. Here's a positive. No one tonight is starving. You may be a little hungry, but you're not really starving. Okay, here's a positive tonight for us in the room. No one in this room has died from COVID. I'm not being funny. I'm being serious, right? I mean, right? You know, there's a lot of positive things we can think of. How about this? No one in this room is bankrupt. As far as I know, maybe you're broke. Maybe you're close to broke. Maybe you'll be bankrupt tomorrow. But no one's bankrupt. As far as I know, there's a lot of optimistics in it. A lot of things to be good about. But a pessimistic person is always looking for something sinister. It just, everything's too good to be true. You know, the church. This church is just too good to be true. It's just, how could a church start 11 and a half years ago with no one, and then have 36 acres and have a building and have a Christian school and have a Christian preschool and have a virtual Christian day camp and do all these things and have a summer camp and a summer program? This is just too good to be true. I'm waiting for the shoe to fall. All right, you can just keep waiting. I don't know what to say, but there doesn't have to be a downside, okay? Maybe God blessed. Is that possible, right? Okay. How about this? Number four, pessimistic person. They're always predicting negative results. They're always predicting negative results. Church, let me ask a question. Do negative things happen, yes or no? Negative things do happen, right? We live in a real world, negative things happen. The best plans fall apart. Proof of that? It rains on our harvest fest. It doesn't matter how much we plan that. Doesn't matter how many pumpkins we planted. It doesn't matter how much work we put into preparing that. Doesn't matter how much effort we put into it. It rains, okay? The best plans can fall apart. But if we approach everything in life like that, then we hinder ourselves from accomplishing anything. Church, I'm going to give you my heart here. If I listen to everyone that I think is pessimistic, we'd still be at the hotel right now, okay? I've had people pessimist me out of everything that we've done. I just have. Well, we shouldn't move the Excellence Center. We'll never be able to afford the Excellence Center. Well, it's on the other side of town. No one's going to show up. Well, we shouldn't buy that land. It's too much land. Well, we shouldn't build that building. What if you build that building and someone dies? Well, if it's the right person, it wouldn't really matter too much. Well, I mean, you know, how are you going to pay? How about this? How are you going to pay for the heat in that building? That was the one thing. How are you going to pay for the heat in that building? It's like, we're in a multi-million-dollar facility. How are you going to pay the heat? Listen, I want to pay the heat. We pay the heat. We pay our bills. We always pay our bills. The last thing I'm worried about right now is paying the heat. All right? I'm just telling you. There's so many big things we got to think about consumer. It's just like pay the heat bill, whatever. Do you have a heat bill? Yeah, we have a heat bill. You know, that's just like the last thing on my list to worry about right now. You know, but we'll never be able to pay the heat bill. You know how much it's going to cost to heat that thing? Well, I don't know how much it costs to heat that thing, but we still got to do it, right? You know, it'd be a lot easier. We're just back at the hotel. They pay the heat bill. Yeah, and all four of us will have a good time meeting together every Sunday, you know. So whatever. But if you listen to everyone that's pessimistic, you just never do anything. We just never do anything. The truth is, I wrote this down, optimistic people actually accomplish more than pessimists. Why? Because they see what they could do. They see things in the positive category, what they could do. not what might be in the negative category. They see what could be in the positive category, not what might be in the negative category. They have a bigger picture of life. That's what an optimistic person is. They see what could be. A pessimistic person, though you know, they're like along these lines. They sometimes pretend to be wise, and they make predictions that sometimes they come true. Have you ever had someone say this to you? Have you ever had that? I've had this. I could have told you that years ago. You ever had someone say that to you? Oh, I could have. Something goes bad. Oh, I could have told you that was going to happen. Why didn't you tell me that? I mean, you said you could have told me that years ago. I knew that years ago that was going to happen. But you didn't tell me that, right? You know, it's really easy to be like that. Well, I knew that all along. Really? If you were so smart, why didn't you tell me that, you know? But on the other hand, though, let's be realistic on their side. Don't be a Pollyanna, okay? Don't have rose-colored glasses and fool yourself and lie to yourself. But a pessimistic person, you know, will just pretend to be wise because I knew that all along. Let me say this. I'm just going to cut in on this. You know, a pessimistic person, you know what, can I just say this? And no one here is pessimistic. You're not. I can talk freely about this because this is for the people that aren't here. But for us here, we're probably all optimists. A pessimistic person, you're just no fun to be with. Amen, church? You're just no fun. Downer Debbie. You know what I mean? Is there anybody Debbie in our church? I don't know. You know, but it's not fun to be with you because you're a downer. It's just no fun. And someone like myself, I consider myself an optimistic. I consider my wife optimistic. We see things, you know, we see it, look at it as half full. Hey, we could do that. We could get from here to there. And you're with a pessimistic person, it's just like, forget it. I'm not going to tell you in my dreams, any other vision, what God's laid in your heart. Just forget it. You're no fun to be with, you know. So, and church, I'll say this about a pessimistic person. It's not something that's genetic. It's a concept that develops. And it develops, and it affects our behavior. It develops our speech. It's predictable. We all know how a pessimist is going to respond in a situation. We can see them, and they'll always point out the bad things. Don't ever ask a pessimistic person for advice. All right, so Pastor Dan, what are the causes? Those are the symptoms. What are the causes here? Let's take a look at it. Here's some causes of being a pessimist. Cause number one is a bad past experience. You have a bad past experience. Having a bad past experience can hold a person back. They don't want to try something new. Well, I tried that one time. I'm staying right here in my rut. I don't want to get hurt, right? I'm not doing that. I tried that once. Yeah, we did that once at our last church, and it didn't work. Okay, so because you tried it 15 years ago, doesn't, okay, all right, whatever. Yeah. They're so afraid of failure that they let past experiences color the future. They give wisdom, they can give wisdom, but don't let it hinder our growth. Again, why does it have to always turn out bad, right? How about this one? A cause of being a pessimist is you keep poor company. Pessimistic person probably keeps poor company. We can be influenced by people around us, and pessimistic people influence pessimistic people. Church, let me say this. I'm very cautious who I hang out with, all right? I'm very cautious. I'm very, very, very cautious who I hang out with. I purposely don't hang out with pessimistic people. I just don't. If I've never invited you out for coffee, it's probably because you're a pessimist. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. You know, there's put it this way. There's people, and I'm sharing my heart. There's people that left our church in past, and they're just pessimistic people. I don't follow them on Facebook. I don't want to friend them on Facebook. I pretty much have done with Facebook. I really hate Facebook. I really do hate Facebook. We use it for our church. I try to encourage people with some stuff, but I don't sit there and just go through it, you know. But I don't call these people. I don't hang out with these people. I don't go for coffee with them. I'm not shunning people, okay? Shunning is not in the Bible, by the way. But because they're poor company, because they're pessimistic about what God's doing at this church, I don't want to be with them because they'll rub off on me. And I'm your pastor, and they'll rub off on me too, okay? Some of you need to be very cautious, people that have left the church for the wrong reason. I'm not talking someone that moved away, all right? I'm talking someone that left church for the wrong reason. You probably just need to just quietly unfollow or a friend or whatever it is on Facebook, because their pessimism is going to pull you down. And the first thing they'll say, well, we're not going to say anything bad about Dayspring. Why would you say that if there was nothing bad to say about Dayspring. I mean, right? Well, that doesn't even make sense. I wouldn't follow them. I wouldn't be part of it. I wouldn't comment on stuff. Why? They're just poor company. Don't keep poor company. Okay? I just don't want that. The doomsdayers, they're exhausting to be with. You know what I'm saying? I'm very cautious about my relationships and my friendships. And you start to hang out with people that are pessimistic about work or the government or the boss or whatever it is or your church. They become critical and just becomes frustrating. I'll tell you this. I'll give you a little inside story here. I have a group of pastors that I love very much. They're very good people. They're good people. They invite me out for lunch an awful lot, and I'm gambling on the fact they're not watching this live stream tonight. But they're pessimistic about the future, and they're pessimistic about the church. They just are. Okay? Back in the good old days, by golly, we used to have 15, 20 people on a Sunday night back in the good old days. You know, but not now. People just don't want to go to church anymore. People don't want to sing the hymn. People don't want to be, you know, nope. Oh, I had a friend that had a church. They started a Christian school and it failed. I'd never start a Christian school. I can't eat lunch with these guys. I love them. I'll see them in heaven, right? I'll take a bullet for them, right? If they need money, I'll give them money. I just can't hang out with these guys. They're just pessimistic. Well, we got six people showing up on a Sunday morning, and I only think there's six people in this entire county that want to hear about Jesus. It's not worth even witnessing anymore. People don't want to hear it. Lord, help me. You know, seriously, that's the way you're going to be? You know, we're just back in the good old days. You know, I don't want to eat with them. I don't want to hang out with them. Why? Because I don't want to be like them. That's why. Aren't you glad? And just think about this for a moment. But let's be honest. Aren't you glad that your pastor is not a pessimist? I mean, be honest with that, right? Aren't you glad that Pastor Dan's an optimistic person? Right. Because think of what it'd be like to come to church with a pessimist. Well, we were going to do some evangelism this year, but people don't want to hear about Jesus. It'll never work. We had an outreach event back in 1983. No one came. There's no reason to do it again, right? Okay. You get the idea, though? Okay. Your pastor is very cautious with who he hangs out with. If your pastor is cautious, we all better be cautious, okay? I'm not exempt from it either, okay? There are good people that I'll see in heaven that I can't hang out with, okay? Because I can't have it rub off on me. I can't. I've got to protect myself, all right? How about this one? Limiting beliefs. Why am I a pessimist? Well, limiting beliefs, a false belief that a person acquires by making an incorrect conclusion. For instance, a pessimist will say, I failed, therefore I'm a failure. They label themselves as a failure in everything. Okay, listen, just because you failed at something one time doesn't mean you're a failure. Church, I'll give you an insight on your pastor. Your pastor has failed more than he's accomplished. That's probably the truth of the matter, okay? But just because we failed at something, just because something we tried didn't work, I don't count myself as a failure, all right? And I don't hold that against you either. If you've done something and you failed, say, well, Pat, we tried. But I don't count it as a failure, all right? It's just sometimes things just don't work. And we just kind of have to think about that, just limiting our beliefs on that, all right? Being very careful about it. Don't talk to yourself like that. Or you say this, I could never do that. You ever heard people say that? I could never do that. Well, time out. Yes, you could never swim the English Channel. I'll give you that one, okay? True. Yes, you're 5'3". You probably can't dunk a basketball. I'll give you that one, too. You're not going to be on the NBA, okay? You're not going D1. Relax. But to say, I could never do that. Well, there's a lot of things you could do. You really mean you could never sing in the church choir? Well, I just could never do that. Really? You couldn't do that? Well, I just couldn't do that. I could never play an instrument in the church orchestra. I'm looking forward to get our whole orchestra back. Thanks for those of you that play, but we got to get everyone back going again on that, right? But I haven't played whatever that instrument is, the ukulele, you know, for a long time. I could never do it. Really? You couldn't do it? Really, you can't do that. I get that you can't swim the English Channel, but you couldn't sing in the worship team? Oh, I could never work in the nursery. Really? I get you're not going to swim the English Channel, but you can't help out with the kids? Seriously? I could just never do that. Well, I could never play an instrument. I could never sing in the church choir. I could never fix my marriage. Really? You couldn't fix it? I failed at the last one. But what about this one? Right? See where I'm going with that? So never tell yourself a blanket statement like that. Okay, keep moving. Oh man, time's going. Number four, here's a reason. People with religious beliefs. That's why some people are pessimistic. The religious beliefs. What do you mean? Well, I just believe some people's religion, even though they're Christian, I believe they're pessimists. COVID's the end of the world. If Biden gets elected, that's it. Okay, listen, my Bible says that I'm an overcomer because of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit lives within me. Yes, the world's getting darker, but I'm still not pessimistic. I'm still optimistic. Why? Because my Bible says, lo, I am with you when? Sometimes. Lo, I'm only with you when Donald Trump's in the White House. Is that what it says? Lo, I'm with you always, even if Joe Biden gets elected, all right? Number five. Sometimes we just flat out lack self-confidence. Parents, can I say this real quick? I'm going to move on this fast. You need to help your children with self-confidence, okay? You need to train them up in the way they should go. You, when you shake someone's hand, you shake their hand. When someone talks to you, you look them in the eyes and you say, good morning, sir. Good afternoon, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, man. Teach your children self-confidence. That's your job to do that. You don't want your child growing up with no self-confidence and I'll never be anything. I'm a failure. Yeah, you're right. You probably won't be anything. Okay? Some people just lack self-confidence, and God can overcome that. Parents, teach your kids self-confidence. Number six, causes some people use it as a self-defense against disappointment. They do that because they don't want to be disappointed. I'll always be pessimistic and think of how bad things are. Why? So I'm never disappointed. Let me just give you a hint in life, church. Here's a hint. Ready? Keep your expectations low and you'll never be disappointed, all right? When Christmas comes around and you think you're getting that really nice gift, you know what? Keep your expectations low. Don't worry about it. Just go to Christmas, have fun, open up the presents. You won't be disappointed, right? I wasn't expecting a new car anyways. All right, cure. Here's the cure, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So what is the cure? The cure is a biblical view of God. It's that simple. Why? Look at the verse. Let's break this verse apart, dissect it, define it. Here we go. First few words right there in the verse. We know. What does it mean to know something? It's a confident assurance that all things work together for good. We know this. It's a confident assurance. I'm sure of it. And what does the word all mean? The word all means all. So look at the verse. We say things are good and things are bad, which is a reality, but all things. So what's an all thing? Well, an all thing is this. Last night, we went to Portillo's for dinner. Here's a good thing. Cole ordered a small, candy cane shake, a small one, a strawberry shake, I think it was. Yeah. The good thing is he got a large, and we didn't pay for it. Why is that good? Because he got to share it with Dad, because Dad's like, well, I'll just have a water tonight, you know? So I got half his milkshake. Okay, all things. Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Here's a bad thing. Bad thing is the reason we were at Portillo's is because we went to, do you guys know the restaurant Tompkins? Amy Z, do you know where that is? Have you ever had the wings there? Are they good? Their chicken's good. Just kind of, eh. Well, we went there last night because we heard it was so good, and it's closed. It's closed because of COVID. So the bad thing is we drove 45 minutes to go eat, and it was closed. Ah, we were going to have wings. So it was a bad thing. But the Bible says that all things, so that's the good. That's when I got the extra large strawberry shake without paying for it. And the bad things, which is the restaurant was closed because of COVID, work together for good, okay? All things work together for good. And the Bible says all things, and it says that they all work together. The good things work together with the bad things. Okay, they all work together. And so you say, well, sometimes there's just bad things. Well, the bad things are also working along with the good things. And you don't know the timing. It may not be immediate. You don't know the things. But look at the verse. I don't know the timing. I don't know how the good things work with the bad. I don't know that. But I'm confident that I know that all things will work together. Okay, I know that. I know that the good and the bad are somehow, somewhere, are going to work together in God's timing. The Bible says that they are working together, what's it say? For the good. So how can I be optimistic? Well, I can look at this verse and know that God is working with the good things and the bad things. Here's a good thing. A good thing is that the president we had for the last 4 years was the most pro-life president we've ever had, and he loaded the Supreme Court with conservative justices. Is that a good thing, church? I mean, if anything, is that a good thing? Amen. So the good things can work along with the bad things. The bad things, if Kamala Harris gets in office, she is going to be the most anti-pro-life, most pro-choice vice president the world has ever even heard of, and anti-family, anti-everything. But the good is somehow in God's timing going to work with the bad, and I just know it's got to work together. It's got to work together. But what's the rest of the verse say? It says it works together, it blends together. Somehow God can do these things, but it's together, it's the good and the bad. And we have to finish the verse because there's a qualifier there. All things don't work together for good for everybody, church. Do you understand that? This is not a blanket statement for the United States of America. It says who? It says to them that love God, to those that are called to his purpose. God says, I'm going to take the bad, I'm going to take the good, I'm going to mix it together, I'm going to blend it in my timing. To those of you that love God and you're called to his purpose, there's obviously some qualifications here. What are they? Well, the first one is that you love God. And the second one is you're called to his purpose. What's his purpose? Well, that's his will, okay? It's not your feelings. It's not your emotions. Well, I don't think this is going to work. No, church, stop with your feelings sometimes and look at what the Bible says. But we know that I'm going to do God's will. What's God's will for your life? Doing God's will is do the next right thing. Whatever God has for you, just do the next right thing. And God says this, the good and the bad are going to mesh together. They're going to work together in my timing for those who love me and are seeking my will. Those that are seeking to be like my son. If you want it to work for good, then love God and be committed to doing his will. Don't ask your feelings what to think, but go to the Bible and say, God, what do you think I should think? So what do I do if I'm a pessimistic person? I got two words for you. Ready? They're real easy. If you're a pessimistic person, get a pencil, write this down. Two words. Ready? Stop it. I can add a third word to that. Now. Stop it now. I need to change my perspective. I need to align with the Bible. I need to align with God's character. We need to look at the good all the time. Church, why do we need to look at the good all the time? Think. Because God is good all the time. Amen, church? It's enough for a revival right there. I need to be thinking about the good all the time because God's good all the time. God's not good sometimes. God's not good only when Donald Trump's in the office. God's going to even be good if Biden gets in and Harris gets in. God's still good, okay? God's good all the time, right? But I just don't think. Time out. Stop thinking about how you're thinking and start looking what the Bible says. Listen, there's always lots of good. You have a job. So tomorrow's Monday morning. Tomorrow's Monday morning. Roy, are you opening for me tomorrow or do I have to open? Tomorrow's Monday morning. Here's a good thing. A good thing is that tomorrow morning, I'm going to be here at 6. A good thing is I have a job. That's a good thing. I have a job. That's a real good thing. Oh, Pastor, I got to get up early. Okay, well, that's a privilege. There's some people that can't get up early because they're in the cemetery. Right? I can get up early. I got to get into a stinking cold car. Yeah, and I got a car. I'm not taking a camel or a donkey or my bicycle to work tomorrow, even though it's cold, right? A lot of ways you can look at that. It's a privilege to get into a car. It's a privilege not to have to drive a horse or ride a horse, you know. But I can look for the good in everything I have, and my perspective can change everything. So just develop a heart of gratitude. You know, it fights pessimism. When I say I'm thankful for even the bad things, and you're truly thankful, even when there's a bad thing, someone may say, well, I'm diagnosed with cancer. Well, that's a bad thing, and that's not a good thing, and I don't make light of that at all. But here's a good thing. Seriously, There's no better country in the face of the earth to be diagnosed with cancer in, because you would get the absolute best care here that no other country, second to none, anywhere else in the world, than the treatment you're getting here. You can still be optimistic and thankful. I'm thankful that I have insurance and that we have good doctors and that Frederick is here and ProHealth is here and Aurora is here and the best medical care in the world. Yeah, it's no fun, but I'm thankful that I'm here. I could have cancer in Ethiopia.
Right?
Yeah. So, church, don't have the gift of discouragement, okay? Don't be like that. If you're pessimistic, don't be like that. Just stop it. Be someone that says, I love God. I'm covered by Romans 8:28 because I know all things are going to work together. Well, should I be pessimistic? No, not with that verse in the Bible. You can't. If you love God and walk in His will, guess what? It will work together, okay? It will be okay. Don't be pessimistic. Don't see the dark side. Don't look for the shoe to fall off. Learn to teach yourself to have the right perspective on everything you do. Be an optimistic, okay? And have an optimistic attitude. And the good thing about that is more people will invite you over for Christmas dinner. All right, we're done. But that's kind of a fun study, though, isn't it? I think that's kind of a cool thing. I think it's good. It's good for all of us. Okay, let's take a look at our prayer request for tonight. Jeremiah, can you hand me the prayer request list for tonight? And take these prayer requests home and pray for the people. And boy, you just got to pray for everybody. There's a lot of prayer requests on here. Does anyone have a prayer request we need to add to this list? If you have one, Mr. Nate's got the microphone. Raise your hand real high, and Mr. Nate will give you the microphone, and you can shout it out. Go ahead, Sue.
For my nephew, Brian, he's very, very sick. His family went to get tested to see if they have COVID, so he's not doing too well. I don't think he's been tested, but we'll see.
Brian. Is that what you said?
My nephew that helped you find the banker.
Yeah. That's not him. Is he your nephew?
Yeah, that's my nephew.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So be praying for him for sure. Great guy. He helped us when we were looking at property and stuff like that. Kind of a crazy. He came with the church here, so it was kind of cool. Someone else with a prayer request they want to add to the list. Raise your hand nice and high, and we'll get it added. Go ahead, Nick.
My grandma Wicker in Southern Illinois has been in the hospital multiple times this last week. So looking like she's 100, so it's possibly her end of days. But if you could just pray for my parents. My mom just lost her aunt also this last week from COVID related, but she was also 97. So just like a lot of crazy stuff. But if you could just pray specifically for my mom, my dad, and my grandma.
Okay.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, very good. 100 years old. Okay. What's grandma's name?
Violet.
Violet. Yeah, I've met her before, so put down Grandma Violet. Someone else with a prayer request that we can add. Who had their hand up? Anybody? Boys are like,
Pastor Dan.
Yes.
Louis sent me two today from Brian Ratio. Said his health of entire family, his mom has a bacterial infection. And then Bob and Sue. For a nephew, Nikki, 28, he's hospitalized due to COVID and is having breathing issues.
Okay, so the Romans, right? Very good. Okay, pray for them. You know, I don't know, are the deals are all sick too? The deals on here? I didn't read this list. Let's pray for Jake and Shay and Twyla and Bob. I mean, the whole, and Grandma, they just all got it. So just terrible. Someone else with a prayer request we can add to the list tonight. That's it? Wonderful. Okay, church, we want to spend, we're about 5 minutes behind tonight, but that's okay, right? If this was a football game, we'd be excited it was going 5 minutes longer. let's spend about 10 minutes praying. Can we do that? Can you just, with your family or by yourself? You can sit by yourself, pray. That's great. God hears it. If you want to sit with someone and you pray out loud, pray a couple of these together. Maybe pray 5 or 10. You have someone else pray 5 or 10. And I'll close in prayer in 10 minutes, okay? So 10 minutes, let's look and pray. Much prayer is much what? All right, let's pray for 10 minutes, and then I'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just bring another request to you tonight. You've heard our prayers. We need to always be bringing our requests to you. So, Lord, we're asking you to hear them. You know that we're serious as we petition you for these many people with health issues, Lord, COVID. Praying for the health of the people in our church. Praying for the people who just were so concerned about them. Think of Mr. Hansen up in Minnesota. He had COVID really bad in the hospital. We're praying for him. Thinking about all the others that are just have got it and kids have got it. Lord, just praying for return to health and praying for our churches, our sister churches, our missionary churches, for those pastors as well. They'd be encouraged, and many Christians, just like unsaved, Lord, we've got it. So we're praying for that. Give us guidance. Give us direction. Be with our president, President Trump. Give him strength. Lord, we don't know what the future holds. We've all got an opinion on this, but Father, if it's your will, we'd love to have him be our president for another 4 years just to pursue the conservative causes. I mean, that's just the way it is. We just love that. And Father, we do pray for Joe Biden. We want to pray for him too. We're praying for his salvation. Of course we're praying for his salvation, Lord. And Lord, if it's your will that he's our president, that we just, Lord, you just the evilness of the agenda would just be pushed back because it's not good. It's not good when we talk about aborting babies or partially letting them be born and then ripping them apart. It's not even a funny thing, Lord. We got to be repulsed by that. All the other issues aside, Lord, our country needs to be pro-life. We pray for that. None of them are perfect. They're all a mess. But, Lord, our nation just can't keep going down that path. So we're just asking for wisdom as a church, asking for wisdom as Christians. Be with our local politicians, our local congressmen and representatives that are working for us. Lord, we're just praying for them, praying for the salvation of those that don't know you as your Savior. Praying for our town board. We appreciate our town board, and we're praying for them, Lord, that the things we do just wouldn't be found offensive or whatever, Lord, with the town. Just who knows with all the stuff we do. Lord, just praying that we'd just be found in favor with the town and be pleased with the things we're doing and respectful of that and our freedoms to worship. So, Lord, just asking all these things. Give us safety tonight as we head home. Bring us back. Bring the school kids back tomorrow safely. The preschoolers back safely. And, Lord, that we'd be planning for our luminary hike. We're just praying for that. That we don't know it. We don't know what good weather is, Lord. I guess I'm just praying for no rain that night. But, Lord, we just want a lot of people here. And there's a lot of people bought tickets for this thing. And we want them to hear the gospel. That's just the goal, just to hear the gospel. So help us to continue to plan that, and people would sign up for it, and COVID wouldn't shut that down or cause confusion, but Lord, it would just be an event that people come to, and they just hear about your goodness and your saving grace. That's all we're trying to do, Lord. We're asking that you just bless that event for the sake of the gospel. Give us safety as we head home tonight. We pray, amen.
We are very interested in you and your spiritual growth. If you want to contact Dayspring for prayer or more information, you can reach us at 262-404-5092 or on the web at dayspringbaptist.com. Thanks for listening.